I wanted to work for myself. I didn't want to ask for a vacation time and time off and waiting for approval. And I just wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to set my own hours, and I wanted to have a say in the type of clients that I wanted to support. But most importantly, I just wanted to be passionate about the mission and the service that they were doing and the type of impact they were creating in the world and with their communities.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Hustle to Freedom podcast, where we interview people that might not yet consider themselves entrepreneurs. Sometimes they do. We're talking to two types of people. We're either talking to people who have a side hustle that is already making some money, and we can hear how they're doing that while managing their day job. Or we talk to people that within the past few years, they have made that transition and they have taken that thing that once was a side hustle and is now their main focus. And today we're talking with Oksana, who is, I think, in the latter part of that bucket where she has taken her side hustle full time. So we're going to hear about her journey, how she did it, what she does, what she's learned, you know, the challenges, the victories, all that good stuff. So with that said, Oksana, welcome to the Hustle to Freedom podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Ryan. So happy to be here.
Awesome. Cool. So to kick this thing off, we'll say what you kind of doing now, and then we'll kind of go in reverse and backpedal a bit in history and kind of see how you got here. So what is your business, and like, how do you help people?
So my business is Remote Rockstars, and our company provides online virtual administrative assistance and business management support to 6- and 7-figure entrepreneurs, business owners who are overwhelmed and overextended and definitely need that right-hand person and that support that our company provides. And it's just the variety of different tasks that we really handle as far as the email management and then the social media support and launches and strategies for the successful coaching programs and different types of services that they launch there, their communities, just making sure that everything runs seamlessly and including as much automation into their lives as possible. So again, just to streamline and to clockwork their businesses.
That's awesome. Super excited to dive into that and hear how you got to that stage, because it sounds like not only is the business running and firing on all cylinders, but you've got your messaging down, you've got your elevator pitch down. So you've really got things dialed in, but I'm sure it hasn't always been that way. And it was a process to get there. So we'll dive into that. So like, where did you come from? What were you doing before this?
Definitely has been a journey, just to start with that. And taking care of people and just being in the service industry has always been just kind of in the forefront of my career. From being the Russian language instructor to Army and Navy linguists here in the United States. That was just kind of like my first job, and preparing all of those important people in our Army and Navy for the language proficiency tests. Again, just to improve the diplomatic relationships between different countries. Like, that was a really kind of like service-based and really important mission that we were doing, both on the instructor and the student part. And then also working as a travel agent, just basically fulfilling people's dreams as far as helping them on the corporate and the leisure side take their dream vacations and corporate business trips, and working with some VIP clients in that area to just definitely taught me how to time manage, how to provide stellar customer service, how to be definitely quick in response to all the demanding needs of those jobs. And then also being the social media marketer and marketing strategist for a yoga studio in Washington, D.C. That was kind of like the last step where I had a little bit of a taste of the freelancer or part-time work from home job. And that was just kind of like, that sparked my interest as far as how can I actually do this maybe full-time, but work from home, having the freedom in my schedule and also the freedom to travel anytime I just want to pick up my laptop and go anywhere. As long as there's Wi-Fi, I can do my job.
Yeah.
So that actually gave me that insight that I can do it. And it's funny, Ryan, a few years back, I came across this newsletter that is sent usually weekly to their audience. That's called Rat Race Rebellion. And that's what fueled me up, because I found a virtual assistant opportunity in that newsletter that I took advantage of. I went through the interview process and started servicing clients working for that company. And then after a while, I was just like, this is brilliant. This is such a great idea, how I can support the passions and the dreams of the entrepreneurs and online business owners. And I can possibly just start maybe my own company. And so that's how Remote Rockstars was born. And I was just, okay, I start creating my own client portfolio. And then I feel like, you know, in every business owner's journey, there's this point where you're growing within your company and then you're just realizing, okay, do I want to keep it solo as a solo practice, or do I want to start building out the team?
Yep.
And you know what? I always love working with people. I love the team environment and collaboration. So obviously the team route was the right choice for me. And that's how I started grooming and training our in-house virtual assistants that are now part of our team, and started expanding our client portfolio. And it's just the best choice I made. I mean, yes, it takes time. It takes a little bit of effort and energy, obviously, to stay connected with the team, especially working remotely. Sometimes yeah. we just don't really know what's going behind the screen, right, of our webcam. But, you know, building that culture and the environment of support and collaboration within our team is absolutely vital for us.
That's awesome. So how did you, you just talked about, you know, getting a team, building a team, you know, for this business, Remote Rockstars. Mm-hmm. How did you get all those skill sets, right? So it sounds like towards the end of this, you got into like social media marketing and stuff like this. Was this on your side, like a trial by fire type of thing? You just jumped into these various things, or how did you get the skill set, or maybe you hired the skill set or whatever to like start to be able to offer this service?
That's such a great question, because yes, I actually do hire team members who can cover those blind spots that I have, or maybe some of those weaker areas in my skill set that could be then complemented by someone who's really professional at what they do, and also something that actually brings them joy. For instance, I love social media, but content creation is not my forte, not just only because I am a not native speaker of English, but also I'm just not a wordsmith. It's just not my cup of tea. And so having the content creator and the copywriter in our team was absolutely essential and super helpful to all of our clients. And the same with graphic design. I love Canva, and I can just spend hours getting lost in all those different colors and fonts and you name it. And at the same time, it's just, I find it's not a good use of my time. Again, like I could be so much more helpful on this strategy and finding business solutions and system architecture side that, you know, we definitely have a graphic designer on our team that can just do it quickly, effectively, and professionally, and they love it. So that's what I feel like the approach that we take actually with our team is just always making sure that everything that we do actually brings us joy and that energizes us instead of the draining tasks that, yeah. you know, we're just
How did you manage that in the beginning though? Like before you had the team and when you were like just starting, or did you start with the team? You didn't start offering the service till you had all these people in place.
Yeah. So I do know a little bit of everything in those yeah. areas that I listed earlier. And that was just from my professional experience and my personal curiosity too. I wanted to polish up those skills. I wanted to improve my knowledge in those areas. And so at first we did start as more of like general VAs, and then we started focusing on those specialized skills and inviting the team members to fill in those spots.
Nice. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So when you decided to dive into this thing full time and kind of go all in, it sounds like you were leaving the yoga studio, the position that you had there. Take us through what was going through your head when you were like, I'm going to do this full time. Like what position were you in? Were you that made you want to do that?
Well, to be completely honest, I feel like I have one of those typical stories of a corporate burnout, and where my health was actually deteriorating and my body was showing signs that whatever I was doing was not serving me and I just could not keep going. And so I was looking for a slower pace and I was looking for more flexibility in my schedule. And I was also thinking, well, eventually my wife and I would want to have a family. And what would that look like when I work these rigid hours in my corporate environment and where I just do not feel fulfilled? And I also did not feel appreciated. So I didn't have a say as far as what types of clients I had to support and I had to service. And I didn't sometimes enjoy actually working with some of them. And so yeah. I wanted to have that control. So that was basically, I wanted to work for myself. I didn't want to ask for a vacation time and time off and waiting for approval. And I just wanted to be my own boss. I wanted to set my own hours and I wanted to have a say in the type of clients that I wanted to support. But most importantly, I just wanted to be passionate about the mission and the service that they were doing and the type of impact they were creating in the world and with their communities.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then when you got to that point and you were like, okay, I'm going to go all in on this business, this dream. Mm-hmm. What, I mean, how did it look in the beginning? Was it like, how did those first couple clients come on board? Like, take us through the early stages when it sounds like it might've just been you trying to do yeah. a little bit of everything and get things organized. Like, so not only were you doing like the fulfillment on the service, but you were doing like biz dev, sales, like, you know, the whole chain of acquisition to fulfillment. So what was that like?
Oh my gosh, being a solopreneur, we wear sometimes so many hats, just like everything that you mentioned right now. So absolutely, it was just me in the beginning. And to be completely honest, I was just simply lucky because I got to support a multi-million dollar influencer in New York. She was so, I guess like she was so influential in her circles and her business was so big that I just got a really nice kind of like sneak peek into how to handle that large organization that she yeah. was running or like that big team and those multi-million dollar launches. So I just kind of just dove head in and engrossed myself in everything that I could basically learn from that experience and in all the different ways how I could support her. So I was her executive assistant. And that's why I was not only just the gatekeeper, but I was also privy to a lot of the internal operations and everything that kind of like her team was doing too, and helping her with the hiring elements here, just finding the right virtual professionals for her. So honestly, like I was just blessed to have that experience. And that's what I feel like equipped me to then see how she was running it, see how successful she was, maybe take some of those best practices into my own tool set and then implement some of those practices in my business. And that's how I have to talk about systems. I mean, yep. setting up systems and those boring and pesky standard operating procedures from day one is just absolutely essential for every business.
Yep.
And that's what 100%. I want to say. That's what I tell all of
us. It does suck setting them up and it can seem pointless. But I feel like if you have any slight desire to like scale your business or grow a team, then it's something you need to be considering in the beginning. And I don't know your thoughts on it, but one of the easiest ways to cross that bridge in the beginning is just like start using something like Loom or something like that while you're doing things. Like just record yourself doing it. And, you know, for a while that can serve itself as the SOP. Like what we do in our business is we've got like our more like formal elaborate processes and that we create like actual like documentation out of like step one, step two. And then we've got a bunch of like little miscellaneous things. And those are like, we create like a video library that's searchable and you can like just type in like YouTube and it'll come up with all the videos related to stuff on YouTube. So I'm curious on like your thoughts and like how a solopreneur that maybe has the desire to at one point in the future hire a team, like how they should approach like documenting their processes. It may, and you know, a lot of people listening are, I mean, if we think realistically, they're not even making money yet. So they're like, you know, let me just focus on making money. And then like, we'll think about, you know, processes later. Like what advice would you give?
Ryan, first of all, love that you have a video library with SOPs. Yes to that. Whichever format they're in, video or written down, it works because you already have that first step and maybe the final step with the written documentation where it's documented and it's organized. Love it. So yes, I actually, since we work a lot in hiring projects for various business owners, once they're able and they're ready to actually start building up their virtual team, we tell them from day one, assigning to your virtual assistant this one consistent task that is repeated and recurring, and that's documenting everything that they're being trained on. So even when a business owner is just walking them through some of the processes that, you know, they do on a daily, just record that meeting, record that conversation. You are already showing them the ropes and you're already showing all the steps. And that recording is going to be valuable. VDyard or Loom, like you said, amazing tools. Absolutely. We live in them. And we, in our standard operating procedures, usually share a template with our clients, and we have a master SOP docs with all the links, separated areas of, you know, all the departments in their business. And yeah, so we include the visual component, and we include a written process written all down. And so I'm a huge advocate of this. And this is something that is part of our system architecture service that we offer to all of our clients. And once they come into the Remote Rockstars family, that's just a standard process. The first 90 days, we are in the weeds, we're going through, and we're in the trenches, and we're just basically turning every stone and then combing through every process and system. And then we're documenting those processes. And even if the person is just starting out, and I know some of the objections to SOPs is just like, well, my process changed. Like, I use this software this month and then I decide to use something else. Still document it. Still create 10, 15 minutes of what you're actually doing on video. And then you just never know at what point maybe a virtual team member is going to join you, or what type of freelancer you might actually hire. Maybe it's a copywriter or a web developer, but it doesn't matter. You still have something to show them. So creating a library with just videos or even written down notes is huge.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. It seems kind of crazy in the beginning, but if you do it, you'll save yourself a lot of time in the long run. And I find just like talking about the processes, like explaining them, like helps you understand them better and see gaps in the process. Like when you are trying, even if you're just like talking to yourself in a Loom recording or something, it just helps you get more clarity on the process itself. So I'm curious when, like, so you started getting these clients, you had the awesome opportunity with the influencer in New York. Like, tell us about when you started to like actually like scale the business. Like, how did you go from just you to starting to have a team that then supports you with these awesome clients?
So basically what happened is that with the influencer that I was supporting solo, her business grew so much that she actually wanted to have someone as her executive assistant full time. And that was just something that I made a decision about from the very beginning, that I wanted to always support a few different people offering part-time hours. And full-time was not going to be the thing that I was interested in, because I love the diversity of the tasks and work and challenge. So that was just kind of like my route. So what I did is that I offboarded myself and trained and found an executive assistant to support her, so that it was a smooth and easy transition for her business. And that's just how we generally handle all of the completion cycles and all of the onboarding procedures with our company, just making sure that it's always a smooth journey for the business owner, pretty much unnoticeable. So, and then at that point, once I freed up my time, I was already in the conversations with a few potential clients who said yes to Remote Rockstars. And I basically, within the first 3 months of that free time, I onboarded 5 new clients. And so that's when I started thinking, well, okay, I love supporting as business owners. I love
If I can cut you off, how'd you find those 5 clients?
Yeah, great question. Facebook. Oh my goodness. I was actually going to mention this earlier and it just skipped my mind. I know a lot of people are not happy with Facebook, but it works. It just does. The Facebook groups, the networking, building relationships on Facebook, but building authentic and genuine relationships, not just something where you're just pitching your services right away. No, it doesn't work that way.
Give us an example. Like, tell us about like your strategy. How did what you were doing on Facebook lead to one of these 5 clients?
You know, it's actually pretty easy. And I feel like a lot of maybe marketing strategists actually share this. And in building these organic relationships, what you do is that you network in different types of entrepreneur groups where you feel like your potential clients are hanging out and asking maybe some support questions. So I know a few groups on Facebook, like Front Row CEO, for instance. It's just a group for business owners who are contemplating, maybe not quite ready yet, and maybe they're at the very first stage of hiring a virtual assistant. So I hang out in that group. I see what kind of questions they ask. I offer my expertise and my professional advice. And then ultimately, it does catch attention of a person who notices that, yes, this answer really resonates with me. And it does sound like this person actually knows what she's talking about. So how mm-hmm. about I pick her brain and maybe we have just like a virtual coffee call, which is no obligation, no sales pitch, nothing. It's just us kind of like talking and maybe me walking them through of just what it looks like working with a virtual assistant, or what is the difference between hiring a dedicated virtual assistant as opposed to an agency, right? And then that leads inevitably to, you know, maybe some insightful conversation where they are actually curious and they want to start working with us. So it's always being basically genuine and never salesy and sleazy, as far as just straight away talking about our services. It's mostly, Ryan, I have to tell you, it's my nurturing nature. It's just part of my personality where I love to take care of people. And it's never about sales and it's never about numbers for me. Yes, I do actually monitor those, and my metrics are a big part of, right, like, determining the success of my business, but it's relationships always come first.
Yep. No, that's true. I mean, our agency has grown mainly through relationships as well. Just networking, chatting with people, offering support, doing good work is a big piece of that as well.
And you know what?
Like referrals.
This strategy really pays off because these days I do not actually have to do that much networking on Facebook anymore. Because most, I would say 80% of our clients now come through referrals and word of mouth. Yeah. So yeah. That investment does pay off. And even though I still stay active in all the Facebook groups that I'm typically active in, it's just not so much in the forefront of marketing efforts anymore. And we're lucky to have referrals like that. And you know what? Showing up to those types of calls, like those clarity calls, it's just basically your clients already sell your services for you.
Yep.
And it's 90% closed deal. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So when you kind of got into this, you came up with these services, and obviously you have to put a price or a value on this that the customer is going to be willing to pay you. This is the feedback that I get from people that listen to the show, is this is one of the biggest struggles that people have, is like, figuring out like how to present their products or services, how much they're worth, how to value them. Did you have any struggles with that? Like when you were starting out, like how did you, one, did you have any struggles? And two, like how did you like decide on how to price your packages and your services and your offerings?
Love that question, because honestly, I was a traditional case of this mindset work and confidence building experiences that I've actually, you know, just gained through all the client work, because the hourly rate that we charge is definitely an evolution. And it started out at $16 an hour, and I was very happy at some point with that rate. And then it went to $20 an hour, 25. So incrementally we started increasing it with the addition of also specialized services. For instance, these days, it's not just the launch strategy, which is a premium type of service. Don't get me wrong. Building out all the sales funnels and the back end for a successful launch, that's a premium type of service. Mm-hmm. Podcast management and video editing, that's also on that higher level type of service that, and now it's just part of all our just general offer package. And so now knowing that we actually offer those high level and high touch type of services, the rate that we charge seems fair to us because we offer that premium component. And so just like
so
I said,
just if I understood you, mm-hmm. no matter what someone chooses to do with you, it's one set rate. Is that how it is?
Yeah, so it is a set rate, and we all offer three types of packages, which are only different with the number of hours that you need the support for. But the rate is the same.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Interesting. Is that pretty typical for these types of remote assistant services?
And it's not. It's actually not typical. So if you're just a general admin, I would say the market rate these days is between $25 to $30 an hour. So that's just kind of like where it's a sweet spot for just general virtual assistants, like mostly email management and maybe some customer service aspect of that too. But for social media managers, for podcast editing, right? And some of the video production services. So that's more, again, like of a premium elevated type of service. And that's when it's the fair pricing for that would be between $48 an hour to $65, right? And then just because I love our clients, the strategy that I provide, which in itself, you know, a 60-minute strategy call sometimes is between $125 to $250 or even $500. I just offer that complimentary to our clients because I love them so much.
That's all. And I mean, so when I think about it from like a marketing perspective, this is you creating an offer, right? This is you like bundling these things to make your service seem more attractive and more of like a no-brainer. Like, why wouldn't I do this? Not only do I get the assistant service that I'm wanting, but I'm also getting the opportunity to have these strategy calls and stuff like this for this one set rate. So it seems very smart from like a offer and a value add standpoint.
Absolutely. And we want our company to be a one-stop shop for all the online business management support. And also, I have to say, Ryan, being in the industry for so long, we've built such a good and vetted professional network of freelancers and virtual professionals, where if there is something that is just maybe not working out with our team members for whatever reason, we always have access to other virtual professionals that can fulfill that need and that can provide that service. And so that's, I feel like, another advantage of working with an agency, because we have a larger reach within the community.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we see this sometimes where we'll have clients that will try to like take a service back in-house, like a piece of a service back in-house. And then they kind of forget that now they have to manage that person. If that person leaves, they have to hire that person. They have to worry about if that person takes vacation, like all these things, to where if you're working with an agency, like you don't have to worry about that anymore. Like that's their responsibility to figure that out. And like, they'll do it for a few months and then it'll come back and they're like, yeah, we tried this in house, but it didn't work. So we want you guys to do it again. So that's, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So all that overhead time, I would say, like when it comes to operations, that definitely adds up. And it's just one more thing that's on their plate and that they don't have to actually think about with us. And what I wanted to say, Ryan, is as far as like our work model with clients, we do not have a project manager who then distributes the work to everyone else. We have a dedicated account manager for each of our clients. So that work is done directly with them. And that dedicated account manager knows exactly where everything is at and the progress and the status and the deadlines. So basically, they are holding their hand on the pulse. I think that's what you say, right? And so they know exactly the heartbeat of the business. And so that's what I feel like also helps with the faster turnaround time and just making sure that we're expedient in our services.
Yeah. Now, from like a business revenue perspective, like what's the margins on something like this? Because I mean, you've got like different business models. You've got SaaS where you might have like 95% margin. You've got, drop shipping where you might have like 5% margin. Like, where does a business model like this fall in that range?
So typically when working with a team in the virtual assistant agency or, you know, business period, if for instance, a person is just a virtual assistant and they have subcontractors and their clients don't necessarily need to know about them, they're just helping them out with certain tasks. But typically the margin with this type of business is that it's 30% of that subcontractor rate from the hourly rate that you charge the client. And that's where kind of just like what we're trying to maintain it between 35 to 30%. That's a sweet spot. And I have to tell you that right now we're a little bit closer to like 45% because I want to have a fair compensation and just the level of support that we provide and the level of expertise that our account managers have in all those, again, premium and high quality services. So eventually I would see the progression of our hourly rate on the client facing side to just, you know, go up a little bit so that we can go back to the 30-35% of the hourly rate.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm always curious about like margins and things like that. Because that's kind of like, that's what makes a business, right? If you're not making money, then you don't have a business.
Well, and Ryan, I have to tell you that we're with the incremental price increase, like I mentioned earlier, we're also observing an evolution of our clients that are joining now our client family, in the sense that their services or their business is already at a level that do actually require consistent premium quality support, where it's mostly launch strategy, it's mostly funnel building, and it's more, again, like higher level of backend support. So there is fewer types of services that we have to do on like a more general admin side these days. And, you know, just going through the inbox and sorting out emails quickly, that just doesn't take us really long time. Right. But our clients really taking advantage of a higher quality support, that's what we're definitely going for. And I feel like that's the type of clients that we're attracting these days. So they are being offered a very good value with our hourly rate.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what role do you serve in the business now?
So what I do basically is a lot of business development work, obviously, and having clarity calls and then onboarding our clients and coordinating the first 90 days of working with each client. So it's basically the account manager and myself showing up at all the weekly meetings and me serving like as the project manager and the strategist during that time. I'm also stepping in as a system architect during that time because I help the account manager. So we basically work in tandem building out all the systems, the workflows, the operations. Once I feel like everything is set up and we have a very nice relationship and the workflow going between the account manager and the new client, then I can depart and just kind of like leave them going on with all the workflows. And then I step in again for any strategy support, any business goals setting, anything that they can, you know, use me for on a quarterly or maybe monthly basis, just whichever serves them best. And so that's basically a little bit of the handholding for the first 90 days, yep, only to ensure that the client is really taken care of and they feel supported and comfortable working with their account manager. And then, you know, it's just a smooth sailing from there.
Yeah, there has to be that kind of handholding in the beginning to an extent, because every client, even if you have a standard process, every client's a little bit different. Even mm-hmm. like what always like is the, I would say the biggest, if there's ever any kinks in the onboarding, it's always around like social media, because every client could use, like they could be on different platforms or use different social media schedulers or this or that, yeah, or, you know, so there's like all these little details that like somebody has to be intimately involved in the beginning of a process like that. Then when you get everything dialed in, have all the processes in place, then bam, then you can just kind of, it's like turning on a switch mm-hmm. and then it can just run.
Right. And then I also manage the community of other remote workers and virtual professionals in our Remote Rockstars Club group on Facebook. So that's where we offer some professional training, maybe some tips and tricks based on our professional experience. I do Facebook Lives there weekly, and then we share some vetted and verified job opportunities, especially valuable these days for all the remote workers, just noticing the influx of new professionals entering our virtual space and helping them navigate, you know, and even set up their virtual workspace and supporting them in boosting their confidence, just like maybe what I needed back in the day. And I didn't have that support system. So I do want to create a little bit of a support and accountability circle within the community so that they feel, you know, they feel that they can do it and they can succeed.
Yeah, for sure. Now, as far as your business goes, like what systems and tools do you guys use to run your business?
Oh my gosh, there's actually a pretty good list. So starting from the task management and the project management, which I feel like is absolutely vital and crucial for every business, just making sure that nothing falls through the cracks and everything is documented, every simple task. And especially when something is on a recurring basis, and we use ClickUp for that.
Yeah, we do as well.
Absolutely love ClickUp. Oh my gosh. Aren't you noticing, again, just like the business evolution of their model too, and how much... Yeah. They're adding and consistently increasing the value yep. with the new features and the options that they introduce, yeah, I'm a big fan. In fact, I actually hired a QuickUp consultant to do a little bit of a revamp of our internal systems just to make sure that we really take maximum advantage of what QuickUp has to offer. And again, to streamline our internal operations in QuickUp so that everything is efficient and spot on.
Did they find any optimizations?
So we are actually having a onboarding call today. I'm so excited. And so we'll definitely be going through every single thing that we already have set up in QuickUp and finding new ways to optimize our processes. So happy to share, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks what that looks like. So I'm feeling like that's going to be a really crucial investment into, again, like optimizing our work within Remote Rockstars. And then we are a Google Suite company, love Google products, really just using all kinds of plugins and everything, all the extensions that Google has to offer. Love that piece too. Yep. And then Toggle is definitely for our time tracking. We live in Toggle, Google Calendar that already comes with the Google Suite. And then what else? For social media, we actually use Facebook Creator Studio. We love it. I feel like in the past couple of months, they really tweaked, you know, some of the glitches that they were having. Yeah. They post not coming out the way how, you know, they wanted with the formatting. And then Facebook, Instagram is our major platforms for all the professional training and just our online presence. And Kajabi is our big, oh my gosh, I even have this little reminder on my desk. Like, we are Kajabi heroes, honestly, because we're not only just huge advocates for our clients to place all of their email lists and their sales funnel pipelines into Kajabi, but we also use it for our email marketing and just all that CRM and offer management. And what I feel like I already gave you pretty much quite a bit.
What do you guys communicate with?
Slack.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Of course we love Slack. And I was just going to say Dubsado for all the workflows and onboarding, just really seamless red carpet onboarding experience.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Cool. I appreciate you sharing all that with us. I'm always curious on what other people are using for various tools. I mean, we pretty much use this. I mean, with the exception of Toggle, we use Clockify. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we ClickUp, Google Suite, you know, the Slack, the whole nine yards.
Well, you know what? My number one thing is to test out again the native tracker in ClickUp and to see what the client reports look like. I feel like they polished up a little bit the presence or the presentation of the reports. And this is my actually number one thing that I'm going to discuss with the ClickUp consultant today to see if we can potentially eliminate Toggle and just start using their native tracker and then to see if those reports are looking present, because before it was just a little bit of a gibberish that was just not a good look for the client.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome. So where do you see yourself if we sat down and had this conversation a year from now? Like, what would be different in your business? Where would it be at?
An awesome question, because I have a couple of ideas. So on the virtual assistant agency side, we definitely want to keep on expanding and adding more clients to our amazing family, Rockstar family, and maybe going up to about 20 clients in about a year. And then also expanding our Remote Rockstars team of the amazing professionals that will be serving them. So that's just on that side, maybe adding about 5 more team members to our family. And then on the community side, as far as actually helping out virtual professionals that are already in the industry, is maybe creating just a little bit of a project here. And I hope I'm not giving out this idea to someone to just go ahead and hop in and do it, is creating an association of virtual professionals where it's just a bit of a larger impact and bigger contribution into their success than just the Facebook community that we already have. And I feel like with the community, it runs so effectively, and we are getting so much positive feedback from people that are getting value from everything that we share, that's what kind of like gives me that confidence that it would be nice to have a dedicated association for virtual professionals, where part of that would be creating a certification for virtual professionals, and not just another online course where I'm walking you through how to set up your business. Not so much that, but actually giving practice an opportunity and a platform to practice skills, improve virtual professional skills, maybe get some feedback, and again, boost that confidence to just keep going and succeed.
Yeah, it sounds like a very ambitious project.
Yes, maybe, yes, maybe it's a little bit too much to handle, but you know what? I can do it.
Yeah, you gotta dream big, right?
Right, and I do have my accountability buddy, my online certified online business manager, who we did actually the certification together with, and so she might be coming in as a partner as far as the association project, and so I think two of us can definitely tackle it.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. It's been awesome to chat with you, learn about kind of your evolution. It's always cool to hear like how businesses start out and then how they grow and, you know, get to where we're at now. And I'm sure you're just getting started. So thanks for sharing some about your journey, how you got to where you're at, a little bit of insight into the business, how you've kind of managed and got more clients as you've grown. Really cool insights that I'm sure people are going to get value from hearing about. So Oksana, thank you so much for sharing that stuff with us.
Thank you so much, Ryan. I loved your questions. It was so nice being here. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much for sticking around listening to this episode of Hustle to Freedom. If you're not already, be sure to subscribe. I usually don't say this part, but I've been on YouTube more. So I'm like getting more into like the hit the red bell or hit the red button and click the bell, even though we don't have that on podcast right now. But click some button on here somewhere that subscribes you to this so you get the next episode after this one. And then the next 500 or 1,000, however many we end up with. But anyway, guys, thanks so much for sticking around. And Oksana, thanks again. We'll see you on the next episode. Peace.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.